Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. It's, what's going on? I don't know what's going on.
E3 is going on. It is absolutely insane. So much information I couldn't even process today. I was working all day yesterday, so I totally missed everything, and I tried to get it all in about 3 hours this afternoon, and holy crap, man. So much information. And yeah. Here with us this week to talk E3 on this special night is Mr. Scott Johnson. How are you tonight, Scott?
Well, hello. I'm fine. It's very nice to be on the program. It's nice to be here, Jocelyn, and see you, although I'm not seeing you, but it's as if I'm seeing you. I'll see you in a few weeks. So
I'm so excited.
But Ryan, it's nice to see you in the flesh. And I'll tell you, you undersold how much information there is right now. Like, it is out of control, weird, crazy, and it's not so bad that it was just, you know, video game stuff and E3 conferences yesterday. But then Apple had their thing.
Oh my God, yeah.
There's other stuff left and right, and Google just bought some other company. Like, tech and video games right now, this week, could not be a little bit more on fire than it is right now. It's
crazy.
Couldn't
they have just waited, you know, just like stagger it by like a day even? Like, come on.
That would have been nice. You know, the way they used to do it back in the day, I want to say way back in the day, is sometimes they'd have these press conferences at the same time in some cases because nobody took them as seriously as they do now. Now it's like this huge event. They spend millions of dollars just to get that stage set up.
Did you see the car?
Oh, yeah, dude.
There's only two of these in the world, and we have it right here for 2 seconds.
That kind of stuff is nuts, and they're willing to do that. They're willing to go all out because they've got deep pockets to do it, of course, but they are always in this mode of trying to one-up the other guy. And, man, yesterday was like a prime example of one-upsmanship between two very big companies, and you know, all the other stuff in between is interesting. The games are interesting, but this could possibly be the most crazy, weird year in the history of video games, and I can't wait for it to unfold as we go.
Yeah, so it was crazy intense. It all started off with Microsoft and their conference, and I've got to say, I had the same reaction to Microsoft's presentation back in, what was that, 3 weeks ago, I guess, when they announced all their hardware.
Yeah.
Is I'm sitting there and I'm watching and I'm, you know, I'm an Xbox girl. I'm so excited. And I'm like, yes, announcements. I want to see what they're... Okay. Okay. Okay.
Here comes the hate.
It's no, not hate.
Oh,
not
sorry.
Hate. Just, like, I was waiting for the wow, and I got, I don't know, sports and Call of Duty with various different skins on it. And
yeah, it's not so much hate as it is unrequited love. Like,
yes.
There was something missing. And I, for one, am a little bit to hear with Dude Bro games.
Yes!
I don't mind them. They're fun. They're great. They do what they do. And I get that Call of Duty and other games like it are big deals, and they continue to be a big deal and will be for the foreseeable future. But what I really wanted to see from Microsoft yesterday was more what I got from Sony, which is a little bit more of a nuanced approach to the actual video games. It's nice to see them come out with games. It's nice to see them talk games and not spend all their time on TV like they did the initial announcement. That was good. Things looked great. I just was underwhelmed by just about everything except maybe Titanfall, I thought looked pretty awesome and looked interesting.
That was pretty cool.
Still pretty dude bro, you know.
Yeah.
But with robots.
Dude bro with mechs. That's
that
always
multiplayer
nice.
Multiplayer looked really, really fun. Like the, I'm in a mech, now I'm out of a mech. Now I'm in a mech. Ooh, now I'm jumping from my exploding mech to other guy's mech, and I'm going to rip his head off and stuff. And I was just like, okay, I'm a little bit excited about that.
Yeah, I'm kind of into that. And it's the Respawn guys. So it's ex-Infinity Ward, ex-Call of Duty founder guys.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the guys that left in a huff and started their new studio. And to see what they've been working on is fascinating, and I'm excited to see how it all kind of plays out because they do know multiplayer maybe better than anyone in the shooter business. Maybe the Halo guys come in second, so we'll see what Destiny's like. But to see that thing in action, that gave me a lot of hope about that franchise. And it's also nice to see even those guys, ex-Call of Duty guys, getting away from realistic military shooters, and it is something that's a little bit more sci-fi, a little more out there, and that's what interests me this year on shooters for sure.
Very, very true. What about you, Ryan? Do you think that Titanfall is something that will pull you towards Xbox? But it's also, they called it an Xbox exclusive, but it's also available on PC. So That was something I was struggling with Microsoft, is they kept saying, and there were a couple different cases where they would say, oh, it's an Xbox One exclusive, and then it's the PC as well. And it's like they're trying to hide that and downplay it, that, you know, it's exclusive as in not available on the PS4 or, or Wii U. I guess we have to remember Nintendo. But it's not necessarily, like, there are other ways to play the game, so I don't think it counts as an exclusive. But anyways, what did you think of Titanfall?
Titanfall was the first game that really excited me at the Microsoft conference, even though I am a huge Halo fan. I mean, I see that, like, when I saw that teaser, it was sort of like, well, I guess I'll be buying an Xbox One at this point. But then when
I was like, whoa, Journey just got way more complicated.
Well, I thought it was, I didn't think it was Journey, but that's the obvious joke, right? But I thought it might have been something to do with, the Mad Max one had been rumored for a long time. But then I thought Star Wars, which didn't make any sense. And then I was like, oh, it's probably Halo. which is great, but Titanfall was the first game. I was like, you know what? I'm really excited to play this. And then I remember it got leaked. It was a Game Informer cover, and they had explicitly said that it was PC as well. And I guess when Microsoft says it's exclusive, it's Microsoft exclusive. You know, for Microsoft platforms, Windows, Xbox 360, and Xbox One.
Well, so, even then, sometimes they're timed exclusives, and they don't tell you this. So they can get up and say, oh, it's an Xbox exclusive. But what they don't tell you, and Sony does this too. They all do it. But what they don't tell you is they're like some six-month contract, or there's even shorter contracts. But in those 6 months, let's say as an example, that thing will show up on PS4 or other platforms, other systems. And that's not totally weird or unheard of. But Microsoft clearly spent big money to try to keep those guys locked in, and who knows how long that goes, but I have a feeling Respawn doesn't want to get locked into a single platform. Actually, really nobody does unless you're owned by the platform, so that'll be weird.
Ryan, do you
I was just going to say, it's funny you mentioned the exclusivity window probably is just that. It'll be there for a year. I mean, Respawn, in the article in question, they had said that they have a small team. They wanted to focus on one platform. And then even the Xbox 360 versions shopped out to another studio, right? So rather than sort of get it, like, hit everything Activision style, they just decided to focus on one platform, make it the best game it can be, and then in a year they can, you know, throw all that hype up again and put it out on PS4, right? So I mean, that's great, but I'm really looking forward to seeing it on PC. But all the footage we've seen is on Xbox One, so I'm interested to see if it'll look any different.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because I heard a bunch of rumors yesterday from a friend on the floor who says all of the demos running that game outside the stage presentation, which is difficult to say, but had backspace keys and hit E to interact.
Oh, great.
Like a whole lot of like obvious nods that they're running this stuff on PC hardware. And actually, I have no problem with that, because these boxes are basically PCs anyway, so it doesn't really matter this time around. It's not like they're faking it or emulating it. This is PC hardware that will eventually be in these boxes. But the idea that they've got finished, functioning, 100% done, retail-ready versions of the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 is, there's no way. They're running most of this on PC hardware that's behind the scenes, under the covers. And that's okay. I don't have really a huge problem with it. Maybe for the first time in years I haven't, because that is the platform. We are going to get these games on PC off-the-shelf hardware. It's really what it is. Just cheaper. So that'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I don't know, man. That game looked really incredible to me. The Halo thing was weird, because I get you need to do a big reveal.
Yeah.
But putting a cloak on that armor is weird. Like,
who would
him,
ever do that?
What? You'd never do that.
It's cracked. You'd never do it. It makes perfect sense.
Even if you're trying to like sneak around a city or something and have people not recognize you as Master Chief, you look like a big bulky idiot. Like, there's no hiding that you got all kinds of boxy armor under that thing. That was a goofy reveal, but
and
whatever.
Isn't he also like 7 feet tall and like a foot taller than everybody else?
Right.
He's huge.
Yeah. He's a super soldier. He's genetically engineered to fight, and there's no way you're hiding. So until somebody gives me, unless that armor gets sunburned and he's trying to watch his, you know, his UV rays, I don't know why he's wearing that cloak. That was just weird.
Yeah, it was weird. And I mean, like, everyone knew it was coming too, because it's the next-gen console reveal from Microsoft. Of course, we already know that there's going to be a Halo 5 and 6, so really the only real announcement was whether it was going to be launch title, which nobody really thought it was going to be anyway, or if it was going to be something for next year, which it turned out, yes, 2014, yay, more Halo. Well, yay for some people.
And that thing was pre-rendered, which they said. That wasn't in-game engine. So what they did was a teaser that had really nothing to do with anything. I don't even know what that big bird thing has to do with the lore of Halo.
It's Forerunner, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
who knows. Maybe it's something to do with the Flood again. I don't know. But the bottom line is, I hope not. But what they'll probably do is nothing to do with it. Like, they'll whatever Halo game they make next will have nothing to do with Giant Bird and zero to do with Cloak, and it'll just be a new Halo game. And that's great. You know what? That's one of the Microsoft's biggest guns in their arsenal, not to find a point on it. And they need Halo to be strong and continue moving forward.
Yeah.
And when games... And you still have Call of Duty as a big threat out there that will sell systems and sell copies. And you've got things like Destiny, which obviously is, you know, that's going to be multi-platform. Although Sony, again, they made that look like that was their puppy today.
Yeah, Sony did that a lot. I was very confused with a lot of the things that Sony showed. I was just like, oh my God, PS4 is going to be amazing. Look at all the things that they have. And I was like, oh wait, they're all on Microsoft too. They just didn't talk about it. So
they showed a fair amount of exclusives, and they always do, and they're always interesting. And again, this is where I think Sony did really well. One of the things they did well at yesterday was showing me weird stuff I can't play anywhere else.
Yes.
And that's always interesting to me. But the PS3 was really good at this whole generation. There was only one place to get Journey. There was only one place I could ever play any of the Nathan Drake games, or for that matter, Last of Us, which is now yet, but will be. They had some amazing exclusives during the PS3 run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they keep that up, that's a huge deal for them, and especially for players like me who are a little dude broed out. I like to tap into my feminine side, I guess, or something.
Well, there were a few things that Microsoft did show that weren't... I mean, it was very dude bro heavy. But, I mean, there was that Rise game that was kind of interesting, cool. It was almost like had the squad sort of feel to that you got with Mass Effect, where you can kind of tell your guys where to go and what to do. So that was kind of interesting. And then plus you're a Roman soldier, although I couldn't really understand the timing of it was interesting, because they were like, oh, the Roman Empire fell, and then but we can rise again if there's another. So, and it made it sound like it was in the future, like the Roman Empire was coming back. But then at the same time, everybody's using catapults and stuff, and I'm just like, I don't understand.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird. That game's been 7 years in development. And,
7 years.
Yeah, and they've been talking on and off about how at one point it was canceled, another point it was kind of restarted, and it's had a really storied, scary kind of run up to its completion. And obviously we don't have it yet, so who knows still. But it does sound like it's a real serious passion project for a few folks who are developing that game, and I suspect it'll come out and look really cool. I have no idea what to expect from it, though. I don't know what that thing's going to feel like, play like. I really don't know. And in a way, that's good. I think that one's also multi-platform, and it would kind of have to be. Because if it's not, someone can correct me, but I'm pretty sure it is. And the reason I think that they would vie for that, unless Microsoft bellies up a ton of money, they need to recoup their costs, because apparently that thing has been expensive for 7 years.
Yeah. I found the one thing in the gameplay that they showed that I really, really didn't like was that every time you had some kind of move to do, all of a sudden the button pops up on the screen. So it's like Y, B, A, and it takes you right out of it. For some reason, it was totally fine and worked for me when stuff like that happened in Darksiders. But I just feel like the game was so pretty. And it was just like, you know, you and blood and guts and swords and shields and the Y button. I'm just like, oh, man.
The good old Y button.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
That one's interesting. You mentioned 7 years in development. It was actually supposed to be like a Kinect exclusive title.
Yeah,
so it's like, yeah, and I guess I don't know how it worked, but maybe you did the whole sword and spear thing like that with the Kinect, but that would have been awful.
I'm sure. You probably had the sword and the shield with the Kinect, and then the whole voice command thing to tell your dudes where to go. So, but yeah, kind of glad. That's actually one thing we didn't see hardly anything of was the whole Kinect.
That was weird. They showed more smart glass than Kinect, and that's funky because smart glass is so ancillary to the overall experience, whereas Kinect is supposed to be
integral.
You know, really important. And I wonder, again, it's so easy to have conspiracies about what went on yesterday in a couple of ways. But in this particular case, they did take a lot of heat from their initial launch event until yesterday. And the heat was mostly aimed at Kinect and how people did not like the idea of that thing being on all the time.
Yeah.
They didn't like how it was listening for people constantly, that there were security issues and all these things to do with Kinect. And I wonder if they downplayed it because of that. I don't know. My worry, my bigger overarching worry, is that Kinect, while interesting and always has been kind of an interesting idea, never lived up to the promise. Mm-hmm. So you would hope second iteration totally live up to the promise, way more fidelity, better overall experience. But I'm not so sure now because yeah. there's so little they're showing. I'm going, well, if you guys aren't excited about it, then that probably means this is a little better than it used to be. But you have kind of gotten comfortable with the idea that this device is going to be a thing to talk to mm-hmm. and a thing to occasionally play a game with. But you're no longer making it kind of a central focus. And that surprised me. I didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They did show a little bit of the Kinect and as well as the smart glass with the whole Project Spark thing that they showed, which I've got to say, that is probably the thing that I am really excited about and would draw me into buying an actual Xbox One, is this whole idea of basically build your own video game experience. And what they showed in the demo was you kind of have your town and your bad guys and you're ready to fight in, what, 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, you know, go find content built by other people. You can take a while and build your own video game and then share it with your friends. Like, it just, the things that they were able to create, I mean, I don't exactly know all how it works, if you have to wait for developers to create things or if you can create things yourself. Like, they didn't actually show, like, how to, say, build the model of the rock or create a new emotion or action or anything like that, you know? So I don't know if you're just pulling from stuff that they've pre-built in the background or if it is truly build your own video game, but it's definitely an interesting concept anyways. I don't know.
Well,
what did you guys
think? Do you guys remember the... So, okay, let's just go back a couple of years. I want to say it was 2010. And at maybe it was E3, I don't remember, but they showed off the Kinect for the first time. And I want you guys just to remember, just briefly, when they pulled out a skateboard, held it up to the Kinect, it scanned it in, and then the guy skated on his virtual skateboard that he yeah. scanned into the Kinect. Now, when that happened, I remember the time going, that seems like a really cool idea. Mm-hmm. But I kind of am calling BS on this, right? Like, it didn't seem like they were... This felt like a, not proof of concept video, but more like, not even a tech demo, more like a, we wish it could do this video, and we want you to be excited about what we think it might do one day. So that all happened. It's kind of like VR headsets in the 90s. They were all garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're finally getting one with Oculus Rift. It looks like it actually will do what everyone's promised us for so long. So it's one of those deals, and I felt like this demo... I mean, Jocelyn, I'm with you that what they showed, the idea of it is exciting. I call bull crap on most of what I saw. I think when the guy goes, let's make some land, let's put some trees in, Kinect, let's smooth that. I mean, him talking to his Kinect to make a world, utter bunk. That was bull crap. Now, the other stuff where it's like selecting a thing, saying I want this troll to be, you know, how aggressive is he? How hard is he to kill? Setting up these encounters. All that stuff makes sense. It makes sense in my head. There are games that do that now. I get it. Cool. Graphically, it looked neat. But I am calling total BS on most of what I saw in that video. I cannot believe that that's how that game works.
You're killing my dreams.
It looked like a Little Big Planet, but for Microsoft. You know, it kind of felt like that. Except more like less focusing on these sack boys and more, I feel like your main character can be whatever you want it to be, right? More of a... Speaking of things that were missing, there was no avatars. I thought that was the avatars when it popped down, but it just looks like some generic, you know, human, right? So
they haven't spoken to that at all, but if I had to guess, I could be totally wrong on this. It depends on how lucrative that's been for them, like mm-hmm. to have other companies, you know, license shirts and designs and helmets and, you know, what does Daft Punk get paid or what does they what do they pay to have their helmets on your avatar? I don't know. I guess as it wasn't all that lucrative. And most of that stuff, including the Kinect and the Move and everything else, those are all responses to the Wii success anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that all fizzled. I mean, Wii success was like, and then And everybody went, well, we've got stuff to, oh, crap, no one cares anymore. And I feel like the avatars are part of that, and I don't think those are coming back. If I had to place my bets, if they do, it'll be minor and no big deal. But right now, I don't. They haven't said a thing about it. Mm. They haven't leaked anything. There's no screenshots. If they're part of that system, they're either holding it for later or it ain't there. And I would bet it ain't there.
They're kind of hoping, oh, maybe we can use this to bring everybody back after all that stuff that went down yesterday. But no, I think you're right. I think if Rare is making Killer Instinct, then, or no, they're not even making that.
It's an egregious freaking thing that you own Rare. You purchased the company who made that IP,
right?
And you're not even using them to build it. I do not understand Microsoft's brain when it comes to that.
They're busy making the next Perfect Dark, right? Right?
I hope they are, because I love Perfect Dark. I guess I should say I like the original. I didn't like the 360 launch.
The Xbox remake or whatever.
It was all right. It didn't live up to the old one at all. And Time Splitters was a better game anyway, which I played on the PS2 era stuff. And those were some of the original GoldenEye people who are also the Perfect Dark people. But who knows if we ever get that glory back as far as shooters go. The problem is we've long leapfrogged that. Halo killed it. Freaking Call of Duty killed it. We're in a shooter world now where we all think nostalgically back, couldn't we get something like GoldenEye again? But I played GoldenEye recently. You guys, it's kind of bad. It's not great. It's not great. Great in 1997. Don't get me wrong. It was amazing. But time has passed. We've improved. We've iterated. We've made a better video game. And it's just not as good as everyone thinks it is.
Aww.
It's too bad because I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I spent more time in that. I did the whole tape cardboard dividers on my TV, my three other friends. I did that whole thing and was way into that business, but it doesn't hold up like people think.
I miss Flag Tag.
That was pretty good.
Paintball mode, come on.
Best mode ever.
That was pretty good, no doubt.
So one thing that actually both Microsoft and Sony had, they each had a free-to-play title, and they each had something that was kind of like playable TV. And we got to see a little bit more of the whole Quantum Break thing from Microsoft, which is exclusive to the Xbox One.
Yep.
I don't know. I just want TV out of my dang video game.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gimmicky and weird. The engine for that, apparently that was all in-game rendered stuff. That looked really, really nice.
It did. It looked nice. I think the concept is really cool. I just wish it was just a video game. I don't need I don't know how they're going to work it, if it's going to be similar to, what was the one the MMO that had the TV show on sci-fi or something?
Oh, Defiance. Still going on that thing. Yep.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good game, but I'm with you. It's tainted. I really like that game. I played a ton of it and enjoy it, but it's tainted a little bit by the whole time I'm going, oh, this has got some TV thing going on, doesn't it?
So I don't know what that says. Touching my games, guys.
Yeah, I don't know what that says. I mean, maybe we have to get over that because eventually this is going to be the future and all this stuff's tied together and that's just our entertainment is a big interactive bundle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is the thing we're going to all be old men and women about one day and we're going to be complaining about it. I don't know. But if it is, I'm not ready for it yet. I don't want it. I don't like it. I'm with you. It's like, don't mix your TV and your video games.
Feel like it's going to be the same sort of thing as 3D, that everyone's going to be like, oh my God, we finally got this. Oh, wait, nobody really likes this.
Yeah. No, exactly. And it's funny you should say that because we now live in an era where they're trying to tell us what we want, right? Instead of us getting sometimes what we really want. I keep trying to jump ahead, but the Sony thing yesterday kind of took that and ran with it. Took that idea that one of you, I heard somebody on Twitter say, one of the companies was dictating to players yesterday and the other company was listening to players yesterday.
And I think it was Microsoft was the one they were saying was dictating, and I think Sony was the one who was kind of more catering to and listening to their community.
Yeah, they were. And they were, I mean, yes, they were doing that, but in all fairness, they were also had an advantage of being scheduled later in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever Microsoft said or did could be acted upon. So they could do things like whip up three quick graphics about game exchanges, and you know,
those looked like really thrown together.
Yeah. They did. They were cool, yeah, and stylistic, but my eye was like, I think a dude did that at four today, you know. and then you know, the big reveal about price. Obviously, that's something they could do sort of on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Tom Merritt about this, and he thinks it's not that easy. There's too much supply chain and too much other stuff in place where those prices can't be moved around so willy nilly. But yeah, in this particular case, with this much on the line, it's entirely possible, maybe even probable, that Sony made a last-minute decision to drop that by $100. And to their credit, this is what it's a competitive damn business. It's the way it's going to go, you know?
I think, well, and I mean, we can quickly mention price, which we haven't mentioned yet, is that Microsoft's Xbox One is going to be $499, and that includes your One controller, your system, and your Kinect, and then Sony is $399. But that doesn't include the whole Sony Eye thing, which I believe is the thing that reads the Move part of the Sony controller.
Right. Yeah, there's been some confusion about this, and the Eye was on the listing for Amazon showed that it was included, and then it was changed. I mean, that's the way this stuff goes. It's always some mistake somewhere.
Yeah.
But they're $59. So if you want that thing, you got to pay $59. You've won a second controller, $59, which is what the 360 controller is going to cost, I think. But yeah, it honestly,
so they're not as far apart as it seems, you know. And they could have had, maybe originally they were going to bundle the Eye in, and they had a $499 price point, and they're like, oh, if we yank the Eye, we can call it $399 and we look way cheaper.
Yeah, you know? Or even if it was just $50, because technically, I mean, if they're going to really sell that thing for $59 separately, which is, I want to say, less than it used to be, the old ones. I mean, I'm not sure about that.
I don't know. I don't.
It's like a 99.
I still actually own a PlayStation, so I don't know.
Unless you have a compelling reason to have that Eye camera going, they haven't really shown us any super compelling reasons, and I would argue they haven't shown too many really compelling reasons why the Kinect needs to be a bundled must-have thing on the other one.
Oh, agree. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So given that, I think consumers are fine with that. They're kind of gimmicked out. They're like, well, that Kinect thing, it's dusty and in the corner. We haven't used it in about a year, and in my case, I barely use that thing.
Yeah.
And the Move even less. So I don't think they care about that stuff anymore in that way. Microsoft's just like, well, we want to integrate all this. Honestly, that thing's more of a voice thing for Microsoft. It really is.
Definitely.
And great. That sounds awesome. Let's see some gameplay implementation. The UI sounds fine. Like, that's all cool and everything. But if that drove the product up, or the price up, to another $100, I mean, people, here's the other thing. When the thing ended, nobody went, oh, $500, that's a good deal. Nobody was saying, everybody was saying, that's a little high. I don't know if I want to do this year. So it's not like they had to wait until Sony to see the difference to then not like the 500. They already didn't like 500.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sony benefited from the fact that now that $399 looks way cheaper, even though it's still a chunk of money. It's $100 still, less.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that whole, damn, what a weird day that was yesterday.
Well, and the chat room is pointing out right now that they possibly had three options, and that's some of the leaks that we saw earlier on in the day before the Sony conference, was prices anywhere, like, I saw $399, $499, $599. People were speculating that they were different bundles and stuff, but what it possibly was just something that was leaked that said, you know, depending on where Microsoft falls, like, we can charge $399, $499, or $599, obviously. With Microsoft charging $499, they can't go with $5. They have an opportunity to undercut Microsoft, so why wouldn't you go to your lowest possible price point? So, I mean, it's entirely possible that it was a game day decision.
Mm-hmm. It was like a weird downloadable mission for XCOM watching this happen yesterday. Because it was all about who moved first. It's like chess, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who moved first, and then what does the other guy do with that move, and what powers do they use to take out the other guy? And it was really fun. I mean, all this stuff aside, it was really fun corporate strategy to watch and see Sony kind of step up their corporate strategy game. Because you could argue the last 10 years, they have been way off that game and not responding in the ways they needed to, not responding to Microsoft the way that they needed to. Lately, they kind of have. I think they've been building these strategies at the end of the life cycle of the PS3 with Plus being a pretty successful thing for them and other initiatives. But to see them do that, and to see the look on Jack Trenton's face, to me, you could see it in his face. He knew that they had a strategy, that they were excited about it, I've never seen the guy smile so much on stage.
Yeah.
Like, God, that is weird for Jack Trenton. He just looks like a mobster who wants to kill you. Mm-hmm. And he looked like a happy little man. And that said volumes, I thought. That was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're pretty good to move on from Microsoft here. So we have EA, who, I mean, we have not been the biggest fans here on the Gamers Inn of EA over the last... Oh, I don't. When did SimCity launch again?
March.
Yeah. So I mean, like, it's we've been pretty hard on EA over the last few months, and I mean, they've got some cool stuff coming out. It was so much. Like, I even put in our notes sports stuff because I was just like, there was like, I don't know, 4 sports games that they showed in the middle of the conference, and I was just like, meh. There are sports. They do sports. So, but other than that, I mean, there was a new Star Wars game teased. There was more Need for Speed. There's a lot of racing games yesterday from everybody. It's like everybody had a next-gen racing game.
Well, it's always the hallmark of a new console coming out. There's always some freaking racing game. It's Ridge Racer for the PlayStation 1. For PS2, what did they have at launch? They had another big racing game at launch. But they always do this. Everybody's
well, it highlights the tech, right? You know, with all the environments in the background and stuff. Because in terms of gameplay, there's probably going to be a lot of racing fans that are going to yell at me about this. But they're pretty standard. You know, you turn the car left and right. You have a go.
Easy. Jocelyn, what are you doing?
Just saying, game mechanics.
You have a go? Standard. Did you say you have a go?
You have go.
One makes you go, one makes you stop. You can crash people, Jocelyn.
You can crash people.
I'm not helping, am I?
No, not at all. So, you know, but it's pretty standard stuff. You know, what they need the engine for is to show the cars and the shiny paint jobs and the really cool cities and vistas and, you know, like, the scenery in racing games is always the best on the consoles, right? Like, of any kind of, you know, genre of game, it's always racing games have awesome scenery, so...
Right.
You know, but yeah, there was a lot of shiny paint jobs yesterday.
Well, yeah, it's all about the skybox in the racing games, where they just have this funnel of content they can show you, so they can make it look its absolute best. And man, I kind of zoned out of the Need for Speed one, but with Forza, the cars are really shiny, and they go inside and they're talking about the stitching and the leather, and I'm just like, oh my, why? It looks nice, guys, but you don't need to, like, talk. It's like car porn, basically.
It is car porn, yeah. It is. And it's funny to watch them not even mention the Kinect function. Again, no Kinect with that Forza thing, where the Forza thing last year was all about, check it out. You can walk around the car. You can open the door, and you can duck your head in, all Kinect style. Yeah. There was none of the talk about that. I think all they cared about really was showing the game. Mm-hmm. But what kind of surprised me later, and I know this gets us off EA a little bit, but Gran Turismo 6 was shown. Or is it 5? 6 now, right?
Yeah.
6.
Running on current gen PS3, and that looked really good, and as good as any of that next gen driver stuff I saw. Mm-hmm. That's really surprised me that they are able to eke out that kind of, you know what, racing games, say what you want about how hard they are to make. It is a fact that you are really just worried about car models, you're worried about specular highlighting and bump maps and all that kind of stuff, and volumetric shading and all that sort of thing, and some pretty decent geometry for the track. But it's not like you got to render Skyrim in there. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to have a giant world to worry about. You got a track and some other stuff you can sort of see, and the nice skybox in the background, which is effectively a high-end matte painting. So you can pull off a lot, but I was totally blown away by that. That was beautiful. And there are people who will, heck, they never even own a PS3. They'll buy one for that game because they just love the Turismo series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, racing games. Check it out. Video games, everybody. Racing games. Yep.
Racing.
Yep. Racing games, sports games, new Dragon Age, which is cross-platform. I think pretty much everything EA showed is cross-platform, right? Same with Ubisoft. Yeah. They didn't show any that were exclusive to one or the other.
Well, of the two, sure, but I don't... Like, a lot of those are going to be PC, most of them. In fact, all of them, really. All the ones you've mentioned will be PC also, but the Wii U is the only one really not represented
at
EA so much. Ubisoft more, but EA is kind of cold-shouldered that thing a little bit.
Yeah.
There was no Wii U with EA at all. Like, it was all current-gen consoles. Like, look at Dragon Age. It's been announced for current-gen 360, PS3, PC, and then the next-gen consoles as well. And that's coming out in late 2014. So, and it's crazy, we just saw that CG trailer too, so no gameplay, which was kind of unfortunate. Because I really want to see what they've done, because they've been talking about making this really good Dragon Age game and saying, we've listened to you about Dragon Age 2, and we're going to just make this great RPG for you guys. And
they if they've Skyrimified it, like Hecky Perrin, that's exciting to me.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, they confirmed that they were doing an open world RPG, so I think they've definitely taken that to heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that one, I think that's going to be interesting. Mirror's Edge. Everyone is kind of freaking out over Mirror's Edge, and they didn't really show all that much, but did you guys play the original? Or?
Yep.
I did too. The funny thing, the interviews I've read since, the EA's very standoffish about it, and the guys at DICE have said something. They're the developers who are behind all the Frostbite engine and most of everything EA's doing now. And they said that game is not anywhere near any kind of playable state, that it is that they're resetting it. This isn't a sequel. It's like a reboot.
Oh, a reboot. Oh, yeah. Cool.
And they said when other things calm down and other things get done, we'll put some work on it. But so it sounded weirdly like they showed that off purely for fanboy reaction to kind of see who is interested, mm-hmm. and really not much else. There is no game to play. There is no game ready to come out. And there are no dates. None of that stuff. So it's a little bit weird, but I really loved the look, the feel, and the idea of that game more than I liked actually playing it. So I would be really curious to see if they fix a lot of the problems I had. But I love the whole idea of that game. So, you know, if they do, great.
That was a lot of the feedback that I was kind of seeing people saying, like, oh, the original was really, you know, janky because of this, or I liked this, but not so much this, and I never really got very far because of all the problems that it had, but, you know, really excited to see what EA is going to do with it this time around. So, I mean, we'll just have to see what happens. But so one thing that, I mean, I thought was really impressive was Battlefield 4, which, I mean...
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm not a huge, huge fan of shooters, but... 64 player multiplayer? That's
a lot. 64 multiplayer. Well, they do that. Some maps support 64 with Battlefield 3 now, at least on the PC. But were they saying that's console players? 64 people on a console game?
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
And that may go to, both Microsoft and Sony's promise to have all this. So they're claiming they've got cloud, quote unquote, cloud technologies. Which is just BS. They should just say server end technologies or whatever. But they've got processing capabilities and netcode capabilities that they haven't had before, and that probably will bolster this ability to do, you know, 64 players at 60 frames per second in huge open maps. Battlefield is badass and awesome. So I'm actually really stoked about that game way more than I am any kind of Call of Duty games that are in development right now. So
I'd rather
play it on a console because I cannot stand EA's freaking PC piece of crap. What is it? You play
Origin
Battlelog.
It's the worst thing ever made.
Oh yeah,
Origin. Yeah.
I freaking hate it. So as much as I am a PC freak these days, and I would really like to play that game on a PC, but I am in no rush to install that thing.
I gotta say, like, they're more Microsoft than Sony. I mean, Sony mentioned it, I think, once, but the whole idea of cloud, especially in EA's hands, SimCity ruined me for all things cloud. I mean, I know when we had Angus on when Halo 4 launched, and he was talking about the server-side multiplayer and all the stuff that he was working on at 343, talking about, like, everything with the cloud and the scaling, and it sounds awesome. But I'm just like, then SimCity came along and I couldn't even load my city. And I'm just like, oh, next gen, just please do not do things in the cloud. Like, let me play my game.
We're not there yet, I think. Like, even with Halo 4, like, the matchmaking is amazing. But when you start playing Spartanauts, which is like the co-op stuff, it just slows right down to a hitch where you cannot do anything. You're waiting to fire your bullets because it's trying to compute, like, all the AI and all your three co-op buddies at the same time. So maybe the cloud or the servers or whatever, the Dravatar or whatever they called it, you know, does... back to Forza.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like, maybe with these servers, they're going to be a lot more responsive, and that's going to actually solve those issues. But we haven't gotten an example in our hands yet, so it's hard to say. But I really hope that they can follow through on these promises, especially with EA. They have a lot to prove.
Right. Well,
they have way more to prove than almost any other publisher right now, and they they've got to make up for a PR problem that is kind of unprecedented. And I don't know, they'll do it with great games and great consumer experiences. So let's hope that's what they aim to do.
For sure.
Absolutely. Speaking of great consumer experiences, Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. 4 becomes 8, 8 becomes 16, but 16 doesn't become 32. That would be crazy. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to Ubisoft, which their big thing, and it has been a big thing for, I don't know, what, four months now we've had this announcement? So Assassin's Creed 4. Assassin's Creed does pirates. And I've got to say, like, I watched that trailer of the bar fight and I was just like, yes, I want to be a badass rum bottle swinging pirate.
I wish I was more excited about it. Listen.
Listen, guys.
The problem I have with the Assassin's Creed games is that I really enjoyed Brotherhood a lot. They do this thing really well, and they have at times where they'll just create this incredible sense of reality in an ancient time, like a different time, but it feels real and vibrant and just like you could touch it and smell it. And I love that part of the game. But then you're reminded every 5 minutes, oh, you're just in some simulator. It's called the Animus. You're some idiot in some futuristic cave, with his head tapped into some dumb machine, and you're in bed, blah, blah. That stuff is starting to kill me. I would really much rather this game from the beginning, and I know I can't change time now and change it back, but from the beginning, I just really wish this was just straight up the story of assassins in different time periods.
Without tying it all together.
Connecting it. You can tie them together. That's great because it's this order and this dedicated line of assassins who've been trained down the years and all that stuff's fine. Tie it all together. But don't keep reminding me that there's some future somewhere where Desmond's running around with what's her name from Veronica Mars all night. And just, I don't care about any of that stuff. Like, it's not well done. Maybe if it was done better, I'd like it better. But I don't find any of that stuff interesting at all. And I'm only interested when I'm in the thick of the time period. Also, I thought 3 was boring.
I haven't played 3, so I think that's probably what I'm missing. Like, I don't know, in terms of the more modern day stuff that they've thrown in there. I mean, do we know how many Assassin's Creeds there's going to be? Like, I think there's supposed to be at least 5, right?
They'll keep doing them until they stop selling. But the great thing about Black Flag is that they actually aren't doing the Animus. It's just focused on the pirate.
Is it? There's no Animus at all?
There's no Animus at all.
Okay, well, see, this is then maybe I'm in. Maybe you got me.
Okay, because you're right. 3 was 3 had an issue where, and I played all the way through it. It was boring inside the game when you were playing the character, like. He was really kind of dull. He didn't really have the sort of charm that all the other assassins had. I mean, even if you look at the first assassin, he was a little dull as well, but still had his moments. But when you switched out to the modern time, it just felt forced and not as fun because you weren't doing the historical stuff. And in this one, they just set out to make a pirate game, but HBO kind of, dark and moody and not Pirates of the Caribbean.
They took some heat back a couple of months ago with the first trailer or something? But somebody got really ticked off about the violence or the way that they treated women or something. I can't remember what the exact controversy was, but they took a lot of heat and they basically said, well, it's pirates.
It's pirates.
It is.
Not going to get away with it. Yeah, Pirates are cool and down with pirates. I would be cool with an Asian story in this series. I'm all about forgetting the Animus existed, but if they do that, let's say they do that. Like, this feels like an offshoot. It's not even a numbered sequel, right? So it feels like it's like, oh, okay, well, here's the pirate one, and we may do another one called Dirty Rag, which will be like, I don't know, some chimney sweep in Europe or whatever.
I was going to say, careful with that.
Yeah,
where's he going?
Get ready with the mute button.
So they keep doing these things, and I'm cool with that. But at some point, they are going to have to loop back around to that Desmond thing just for closure for the huge fan base they have. And people will not accept them not giving them some sort of resolution there. Which and that's too bad, because if they just would have started out this way, then it would have been fine. Mm-hmm.
Maybe if they hit, like, Assassin's Creed 6, that'll be the one where they'll wrap up the Animus story, and then all the next ones, if they keep going after that, then maybe that's when they'll start just being like, Assassin's Creed, this gets inserted in the story over here, and, you know.
You guys didn't finish 3 then, did you?
No.
So I think there's a reason that I'll just say there is a reason that they're sort of pulling away from the end. I think they've said that this is sort of like a training exercise. So it's bookmarked maybe, or at least starts as an intro. Like you're maybe a what's the bad guys in the universe? The Templars.
The Templars, right?
But anyways, their modern counterpart. They're sort of like throwing people into the Animus to try and get as much information as they can, and it just starts off with that's the front story, and then the whole game is you're this pirate. But yeah, they wrap up the modern storyline, or at least the Desmond storyline in 3.
Okay.
No spoilers.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're done with it, and who cares now?
Hopefully.
Yeah, you can just be excited about Assassin's Creed Pirates.
Exactly.
I guess so, because it's at its best when it's historically accurate, and they got weird information about some famous place in Italy, and you get to read a bunch of crap about it, and there's a big log about location, and you start to feel like, wow, this is authentic. I feel like I'm really here. And then, there's an electric wall over there with freaking, it's like a hologram. Okay, I know what's going on. It's freaking Desmond bullcrap going on again.
They'll probably still have they'll use those, the Animus stuff to keep you in the game, I guess.
To close in the world,
You know, I think that's sort of like better than invisible walls or like putting a couch in front of a gate or something, right?
Well, yeah, but you could also, I don't know. You know what? Skyrim ruins every other video game I play.
It does.
Because that game just is so open. There's no walls to anything. If you can't get somewhere, it's because it's a mountain that you could never climb in real life.
Yep.
And it's just, you can go, I don't feel like doing this. I'm going to go that direction. And you'll go as far as your horse will take you, or until the horse dies, which happens to me constantly. But that, you know, that kind of experience, I find myself craving that in every game I play.
Right.
No, I don't think that's good. It's not good. You know, I don't need to be playing Super Mario 3D Land and going, man, if I could just, you know,
this was just Skyrim.
And have people fall down in front of me, or, you know, whatever.
That'd be nice.
It doesn't seem like I'm giving it, you know, giving games their fair shake, but Skyrim kind of ruined me. And in fact, we're talking on the final score, and we're probably going to have to come back to this one when these new consoles hit and try to vote for our favorite games of the last generation. You know, for me, it's pretty much a fight between, I would say probably a fight between that game, of course, Skyrim, which is the whole point of me saying this, and probably Red Dead Redemption up there, doing little fisticuffs. I freaking love that game. But again, those games share a very similar thing, which is I can go anywhere I want, anytime I want, any direction I want. And it's all rendered out. It's beautiful. No cactus is the same as the last, like that. That whole vibe is in that game too. And I really hope, this is the thing we haven't really seen with these new games in the last, you know, day or so. Nobody's showing me anything that is that infinite yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it has to be in a desert for me to like it, although that helps. But no one's showing me giant open world games outside of, you know, what's the one Ubisoft is doing that's coming out soon? Crap.
Watch Dogs?
Watch Dogs looks amazing. Yeah. But I've been in city.
That looks really fun.
I've been in open world city games. I know what those are like. I want something that's going to show me. I shouldn't say that. I'm totally stoked for that game. I'm really excited to play it. But you know what I mean? Like, I want to see something new. Or maybe what I just want is a Skyrim sequel and a freaking, Fallout sequel. That'd be great.
Yeah. I would love a Fallout 4, and a lot of people were really hoping that they would show it off, but maybe next year, I guess, hopefully.
Yeah. It's a long generation. They got time.
Oh, yeah, lots of time. Yep.
They did show off, Ubisoft did show off The Crew, which is a racing game, but it's open world. It looks like it goes all across the states.
Can you crash people?
I was really kind of confused because the car kept transforming, so I was like,
oh, that was the CG trailer. It kept adding bits to it so it could do other things.
So I was just like, what's going on? But yeah, so that's the one where you can play by yourself. You can play more like story questy stuff. You can play with your friends. And you're basically just, it looked like open world Grand Theft Auto almost with better driving mechanics. Because it was just like you're trying to take over cities and gangsters and stuff like that, and you're trying to be a crime lord or something. It was a little bit lost on me, but at least it was open world.
Yeah. More open world, more all the time. I mean, that's what these new consoles are going to afford us. It's what PCs have done so well for quite a while now, and that is enough memory and the right kind of memory to run in real time and produce worlds that don't have so much load screens, so much having to go through doors, so much false kind of walls to everything, and really truly let you have just a giant space to do things in. And that's super exciting, but nobody really capitalized on it this week, I don't think, anyway, not so far.
Yeah, the crew, when they were showing it off, a lot of the word on Twitter was that they were saying it's a seamless streaming racing game of all across America. I don't know if that is true or not, but to think that you could probably do that with next gen, have this, yeah, it would have to be really condensed down, but I think that'd be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
just driving around
awesome.
And, you know, welcome to Nevada and then welcome to California and really get a feel for driving all over the place. Yeah, that'd be, you know, that would be a racing game that I can see is interesting, at least. Worth a second look.
Imagine it as Burnout Paradise, but blown up to be a giant continent worth of content. And if that's what this is, I'm in. I'm totally in.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
That sounds great. Yeah. It's just don't make me play it on Uplay or whatever the crap your dumb thing is.
Man, I think you're asking for too much, Scott.
Yeah. I really am. All this, like, you know, as much as I hate Origin or Uplay, I know they're going to keep doing that dumb thing. And it's really just PC people to get screwed by that. I mean, they have some of that login stuff going on console games, but it's usually very optional. You don't have to really do any of it. But on the PC side, it's like, come on, you guys. This is where we're innovating. This is where inspiration for the stuff these consoles are going to be doing out of the gate are coming from. Mm-hmm. And you're just oppressing the user base there with your dumb, locked-in service crap that you're making people do. Mm-hmm. It's offensive. I hate it.
Yeah.
Well, I know one title that Ubisoft talked about that was, like, I was really excited about, and I still haven't even played through the first two, is Witcher 3. Yeah. That one, oh, man, talk about open world. That looked amazing. That looked like Skyrim-ish, definitely.
Well, they're going full open world this time. No more linear quest story thing, which is, I really enjoyed the second game, so I don't want this to diminish that experience because it was awesome. That story was incredible, but I don't, if the game could have used anything, it was more of an open world and more of an open quest structure, and I feel like that world is ripe for this. Mm-hmm. So if anyone's going to, I mean, those guys at CD Projekt know what they're doing. If anyone's going to give a run for their money to the Skyrim people, it's probably going to be these guys.
Yeah.
More so than Dragon Age, I think. I think this has real potential.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Dragon Age, nothing wrong with Dragon Age. But Dragon Age has a lack of focus. Dragon Age is like, yeah, here's the first game. It's pretty damn good, and here's what you do. Oh, well, I think we need to make it more action-oriented because people sure like that Mass Effect, so we're gonna try to do that. Oh, what happened? It's kind of sucked and has a lot of repeating dungeons, and no one liked it. Well, shoot, what do we do now? Well, people like Skyrim. All right, well, I guess we'll do that.
You know, it's like, funny.
I don't like that jumping around, and they don't have their own vision. It kind of just bugs me that way, but whatever.
Darksiders was similar, where they had a really good first game. It was really cool, and then all of a sudden, the second game was totally different. Like, mechanics, inventory, all that stuff, and I was kind of like, wait, what are you trying to do here?
Yeah. But, well. Just a lack of, or not a lack of focus, just a change in focus. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. I get it. They should be allowed to do these things, but it's jarring, especially if it's not good. It needs to be so much better than what I already liked, or else you're running the risk of losing me as a fan. And right now, Dragon Age just makes me kind of go, oh, Dragon Age, that's right, that's a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
But The Witcher 3, yay, exciting.
Yeah.
I think we should kind of jump into Sony here, because that ended off yesterday. That's the reason we didn't actually do our show yesterday, is because it was so freaking late.
Yeah.
Stupid Pacific time. Man. It was like, I had to go to bed. I worked all day yesterday, and then I was going to watch the Sony thing, and then I was just like, yeah, nope, I'm out. Everyone, Twitter's going crazy, and I'm like, no, it's like 11 o'clock. Done.
Yeah, so. I got in trouble. I stayed up and watched until 11, and my girlfriend's like, come on, why are we watching video game stuff all day long? I'm like, I'm sorry, it's one day a year.
It won't happen again, I promise.
But then, you know, it happens again, no matter what. But
I was up doing the coverage with Twit. And we watched the entire thing from top to bottom. I was a little surprised about how long it went. It was pretty freaking long.
It was like 2 hours.
Yeah.
A little longer than I expected. I thought hour and a half max, maybe even shorter. Mm-hmm. But I was, see, unlike some people, I know there's a lot of dude bros out there that liked what most of what Microsoft was showing. I really liked this weird crap they were showing, weird indie games, stuff you'd never heard of. That walking octopus guy is a freaking, I can't wait to play that.
That looks so much fun.
That, yeah, like, looks like a trip. Weird, super skinny Western guys, like, that was really cool.
Yeah. Games like Don't Starve, the fact that they're going to, you know, update some other venerable franchises like Infamous. I think Infamous Second Son looks amazing. Really, really, I don't know what they're doing with facial animation in that thing. But go back and look at Infamous 1, everyone out there, and compare that to the video they showed of in-game footage of those guys talking in the car. You're going to be blown away because the original one had the most stiff, terrible voice-faced stuff going on you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Real bad. And this just looked insane. So, you know, whatever. I get excited about the technology. This is all stuff our PCs have been able to do for quite a while now.
Both and Microsoft and Sony really seem to be kind of championing the whole, like, facial thing.
That was an extra ing, but I liked
it. Yeah, I know.
I liked it. I liked it. I don't think you should stop. I think that was good. They were really pushing that, and they rightfully so. This is cool. This is cool tech, man.
Yeah. Right.
You know, this is what games should be able to do, and I'm glad they are, you know, doing these things. But that Dark Sorcerer thing, I don't know what the hell that was going on, but man.
That was funny.
May as well have been real. May as well have been a real dude.
Yeah.
And it kind of is. Joel, I mean, that mocap stuff basically is. Yeah, they just skin real people. ESO to come in there as a free-to-play game is interesting because we know that Elder Scrolls Online is coming to PC. That's been long known. What we haven't known is its pricing model.
Yes.
They basically just admitted that if it's free-to-play on the PS4, then it's free-to-play everywhere.
Is it free to play?
I was going to say, I must have totally missed that. When did they say free to play?
They got up. Oh, you know what? That's a good question.
I thought they said beta. They said it was going to be beta. Right. Yeah.
You're right. But they're going to, and eventually the whole thing will be there. But you're absolutely right. They didn't confirm it. This is more my head going, all right, so hold on a second. Nobody's ever been able to make a success of a console where it requires money to play multiplayer like Xbox Live and now PlayStation Plus. Which we found out yesterday, you got to have to play multiplayer. And nobody's ever gotten a subscription-based game to work on those consoles as another thing you got to pay for.
That's a good point.
Plus, MMOs are dropping like flies that have any kind of subscription service. There are only two venerables left, Warcraft, which kills everybody, and Eve, which is weird as hell and can still work somehow. So you have those things that survive. Nobody else enters this MMO market as a subscription-based game. If they do, it's suicide, and they go back and they change back to it anyway. They end up converting back to a free-to-play model. They're all doing it. Rift just changed to free-to-play. Will be in a couple of weeks here. Like, everybody's doing it. So I would be shocked and awed if ESO ended up being subscription. And my point is that, to me, that them showing up in that fashion on a console like that kind of proved it. Because if that game isn't free-to-play on that console, nobody will pay.
That's just
the way it is. Yeah.
So then, do you think if it's going to be free to play across all platforms, then if I create a character that is tied to my profile, can I then decide to play my character on my PC one day, and then I'm like, you know what, I want to chill on my couch. I think I'm going to pick up my character and I'm going to play her on the whatever next gen console I decide to buy.
It's entirely possible, but here's the problem with that.
That would be awesome.
Here's the problem with that. Here's what I predict they'll do. What they could do is what you just said. The problem is what they will do is both console versions will be of parity and you'll be able to play each other from there. So if you're an Xbox One owner and you're somebody else, a PS4 owner, you will be able to play that game. Assuming it's on both platforms, you'd be able to play that game together. Because, again, you have some parity on hardware and it's not an architectural nightmare to make those two things work. On the PC side, though, this is a problem because you start out with parity. But let's say, you know, MMOs thrive and survive for 10 plus years. We're 10 years of World of Warcraft, for heaven's sakes. Nobody wants to have that game have to stay with its current capabilities, specs, and patching system just so it keeps up with the console versions. In other words, it would slow that way down. That whole process of iteration and improvement, engine improvement, new content, expansions, all that stuff would slow way down, especially on the Microsoft side. They're notorious for being slow about that stuff.
Yeah. Right. So, damn it, Scott.
If that's true, then you will not be able to play me on the PC versus you on a 360 or a, not a 360, rather a Xbox One.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing, but that seems like the business end of it.
That's true. It's easy to forget that, you know, like right now everything is pretty much the same across PC and PS3 and Xbox One, or PS4 and Xbox One. Everything is pretty much tech-wise pretty equal, but very, very shortly it's PC is going to take off again as it does.
It's the way
it's easy to forget that, though.
It's an evolutionary, I mean, it has its disadvantages, but the one advantage it has is this evolutionary iterative technology where you can constantly be doing new things, adding new things to it, taking things away from it, being experimental. The downside of that is, you know, there's a million parts of hardware you got to support. It's hard sometimes. You get driver issues. I mean, all that stuff still exists. It's better than it's ever been, but still kind of a problem. Steam has helped streamline a lot of that stuff. But when it comes to consoles, one advantage they have is the developers are now talking directly to core hardware. They're saying every PS4 is identical. We don't have to jump through hoops to make a bunch of compatibility. It's one machine fits all. That means we can go right to the root of this hardware and really get stuff out of it that you can't even get a PC to do right now because, again, it's this dedicated piece of hardware. And you can do that with hardware. You can talk to the most fundamental roots of that hardware and get it to do things that you know seem like magic. That, over time, though, becomes obsolete and better things are happening somewhere else. And again, a company like Bethesda is not about to sit down and go, well, we think we'll just hamstring ESO on the PC because we want it to keep up with the console. I think that would be ridiculous for them to do that.
Yeah. So then you definitely think that, well, and you too, Ryan, weigh in on this. In terms of longevity of ESO, I mean, I would love to see it stick around for 10 years. But I mean, like, the whole Elder Scrolls series has just been so compartmentalized, I guess. You know, like, you've got all of your titles have been console or PC or whatever, but they're still self-contained stories. And I mean, it seems like when you have to level a character from 1 to 60 or whatever they've said, you're all going for the central throne and you're part of a faction and it's all PvP. It sounds like a really fun, awesome game, but I don't know if that, like, having your goal in the center and your mechanics staying the same, it feels like something that I would play for a year or two like I would any other Elder Scrolls title while I wait for whatever the next version of Skyrim is.
Right.
So do you think it's going to stick around for 10 years? Do you think that that's sustainable?
I don't know. I mean, is Elder Scrolls Online confirmed for Xbox One, or is it just PS4?
It's only PS4 is the only confirmed console right now.
I saw a tweet from, who was it? Peter somebody, I think.
Hines. Peter Hines, is it?
I think so. And he said it's coming to Xbox One, PS4, and PC spring 2014.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense.
Because I thought it was exclusive to PS4, and I was like, well, I'm sold on a PS4 then, because yay, Elder Scrolls. But it's not. It's all next gen console. Well, not Wii U, but it's.
You can pretty much say that for every game that isn't created by Ubisoft. I mean, Ubisoft's been known to milk every single console that's available, but when it comes to ESO, the mere fact that it's launching on Xbox One, I think what will happen is it'll be what Scott says, but if it was just on PS4, I mean, let's look at Portal 2 that came out on PS3 and had the Steam built into it. Sony's really receptive to allowing third parties to run their own network magic in the background, right? So as opposed to Microsoft, who wants to just, no, it's ours, you have to use it, you can't sort of, you know, layer it on. There was no Steam on Portal 2 for Xbox. I think if it was just PS4, we would have seen a parody because Sony would have said, you know, do whatever you need to do.
But I don't, I only know what I know. And what I know is not as much as people think they know. We just don't know.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Gamers Inn. Sorry about those technical difficulties. It was something to do with my internet. I think our router did something funky because we had to reset the world, and now we're back. So, you may have noticed, lost Scott Johnson. He unfortunately had to run. We ran a little long, and then, obviously, couldn't pick it back up in time. So that really sucks because that was a really, really awesome show so far. But that's okay because we're going to keep going because this is the Gamers Inn and you have Jocelyn and Ryan. So yay.
That means we have to have him back now. I think that's the rule. Oh, shoot. Yeah. Sorry, Scott.
So, yeah, he did have to run. He had another commitment, family commitment. So that's cool. We will have him on another time. But let's jump right back into our Sony discussion. So they did have a couple of exclusives. But like I said earlier on in the episode, it's really, really weird because a lot of the stuff that I thought were exclusives on Sony turned out to not be exclusives, that they were just, you know, showing what is coming soon. And that's really awesome. It got me excited about Sony. But it was a little bit misleading, but they do have some things that are exclusive, like Transistor, which is an indie title, which I'm not really excited about. It looked kind of weird. There was singing and there was swords, but they're the guys that made Bastion.
Yeah.
So they are a little bit
and
out
even
there.
And even that one, like most of the indie titles they showed have either appeared on PC or will appear on other platforms. I mean, if you remember Bastion, it was exclusive to Xbox, and then, like Scott was talking about, that if it's not exclusive, there's that exclusivity window. The only time you truly get an exclusive title is when it's a first-party title. And Transistor will probably come to PC down the road, but it's a safe bet that you'll be playing it on PS4 first and for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, so there was also Knack, which was we still didn't get to see too much of, and again it's probably all stuff that we'll see more of as the week progresses, but that's from the guys that made Ratchet and Clank.
That's just like I don't know who's making that, but I know it isn't Ratchet and Clank guys.
Because they said the guys that made Ratchet and Clank. Oh, is that the Microsoft presentation?
Yeah.
The Ratchet and Clank guys are making something anyway.
The Ratchet and Clank guys are making that cel-shaded game, Sunset something, on Xbox One. But Knack is being made by the guy, Mike Cerny, the engineer that they brought out in the February event, who was missing at this event, which was really weird. But he was involved with old school PlayStation titles like Spyro, I believe, and the Jack and Daxter. But anyways, Knack looks interesting, but I don't know how to play it. You know, it's like it looks like a Pixar game, really, when you think about it. It's like I'm loving the animation. I'm loving the Steve Wozniak looking character that's in it. Yeah, it's a launch title, so if you're picking up a PS4, that's one of your options, I guess.
Well, and one that I thought looked really, really cool and kind of different, and I really wish that Scott was still here to talk about this, because I believe he tweeted it's right up his alley, and I have to agree, is it looks like steampunk, but just on the cusp of steampunk stuff coming in. There was like blimps and guns, but it all looked really like high tech, you know what I mean? Like it was cutting edge. And it's basically this horse-drawn carriage full of these four characters who have these steampunky weapons, and they jump out and start shooting what look like werewolf demon-y type things. And I was just like, yes, please.
Yeah, it looked like sort of like Van Helsing-esque. And I'm thinking maybe it's like a Left 4 Dead 4-player co-op style game. They said it was in-engine, but
It definitely looked 4-player co-op. I don't think it's a single-player thing, unless it's a 3-person with AI, if you choose to do it that way. I don't know, but it definitely looked really, really cool. And chat room, I think, is correcting me. 1886. Did I say 66? I did. There's some 8s and some 6s, and really, everyone's just going to call it The Order, so I don't even know why we're being all picky about numbers.
You know what? I don't really remember werewolves in any sort of history book, so we'll just call it The Order.
Yeah, so it seemed to be kind of this cool mix of steampunk tech with like lore and fairy tale story stuff and religion, and it just looked really cool. It was like a little bit of everything that I really want in a video game. So plus it was all smoky and mysterious and kind of creepy, so it had the horror-ish stuff without going like full on. Like, who is it? Bethesda that has that new game out that's like crazy horror Saw type stuff.
It's like Evil Within or something.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways, yeah. So it wasn't scary like that. It looked like scary like Haunting, which is way more up my alley.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So that one is PlayStation exclusive, right?
Yes, that's being made by their big studios, Sony Santa Monica and Ready at Dawn. So, and Ready at Dawn's known for like their God of War PSP titles. So they're they've been trying to make a console Sony game for a long time, and I'm glad that Sony's finally given them a chance. Mm-hmm. But I don't know when it's coming out. Did they say 2014 or?
I think pretty much everything that they gave dates for was either launch or early, like spring 2014. They didn't really say, at least that I can remember. And again, like I said, I crammed all of this into about 3 hours this afternoon, so I may have missed it, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that everything that was 2014 was spring 2014. Yeah, Q1 is what the chat room is saying. So yeah, they've got some pretty good stuff coming, and quickly, which I think may be where they're going to outdo Microsoft, is they will have more interesting titles quicker.
Right.
You know, a lot of Microsoft stuff seemed to be 2014 vaguely, or late 2014, or holiday 2014, as opposed to Q1, spring, you know, launch. I think the whole launch window idea is getting stretched and stretched and stretched, so now it's like within the first year of launch is our launch window. It's like, well, that's not a launch window. A launch window is like, if you launch in November and I don't have it by Christmas, you have missed your launch window.
Yeah, and I mean, they're both these companies are avoiding the mistake that Nintendo has made and continues to make, in the sense that we're not going to talk about Nintendo. We'll talk about that on Friday. Mm-hmm. But all the stuff they're announcing, still half of it is not expected until 2014. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad Sony and Microsoft, and I mean, they're used to building HD games, so I'm not really surprised that they're going to have all these titles in the first year, and I'm just really excited to play these games.
Yeah, there were, what I found with Sony is, with Microsoft, their press conference was very, like we mentioned earlier, like bro heavy, you know, like you've got your shooters and your sports and your racing and, right, you know, whereas I felt that with Sony, they were just like, well, we have this cool thing and this cool thing and this cool thing and this cool thing, and nothing looked the same. You know, like there were all kinds of different art styles. Oh my God, Final Fantasy.
Right.
It's not exclusive, but when they were showing that, I was like, holy crap. I'm not a, like, if I were when, because this game looked so freaking amazing, when I pick it up, it will be my first experience with Final Fantasy. But, like, I've never wanted to pick up the game before. Mm-hmm. And I watched what they showed, and I was just like, oh my God, that looks amazing, compelling. It's got all the really cool stuff I like about sci-fi mashed up with all the stuff I like about fantasy, and it's all just like in my face with slow-moving exploding glass.
Well, one can hope that I mean, this Final Fantasy game has been in development for a long time. It used to be Final Fantasy 13 Versus or something.
Yeah.
So that could mean this game will be excellent, it'll be out soon, or that could mean that this game has been, they've been working on it for a long time, and I really hope that Square Enix is going to go back to, I've never been a Final Fantasy fan, but I know people are like, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy X, those are the great
which
games.
Which is exactly what the chat room just threw out.
Oh, I wasn't even, I swear, I wasn't looking, but like, I want to experience that without having to go back and play those old, I know I'm an awful gamer, I don't like playing old games because they look like garbage.
Yeah.
For now, but for their time they were excellent. So I'm hoping that 15 is a return to form, and that might be a little wishful thinking, but I'm a Nintendo fan, so I'm full of wishful thinking.
Oh man, it's so true. So okay. When it comes right down to it, as of today, Ryan, who gets your money?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to pre-order a PS4.
Even though they have that really, really sweet day one Xbox with the engraving or something.
I'll be honest with you. I'm like you. I'm an Xbox. I love my Xbox. I'm not like you in the sense that I love Halo. So everything in the Microsoft conference was like, I can wait for this. I can get it on PC. I can wait. But then they showed Halo 5, and I'm sure, like, a lot of people were like, oh, this is where Ryan gets nailed. And it's like, yeah, in 2014, you know?
Yeah.
So I was only going to buy one this fall, this holiday season, and I think it's Sony, because Infamous, I love Infamous. Mm-hmm. Hands down, that's the reason I'm buying that system. And Infamous is coming out Q1, which is probably way ahead of when Halo 5 will be out.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. I said from the start, it's the games.
Yep.
The games. And,
which, yeah, we've got to say that Xbox was all about the games today. I found that my reason that I think that I'm leaning towards PlayStation is more so that with Microsoft, mm-hmm, they made a really big deal out of the fact that they're still supporting the 360, that your Xbox Live subscription is the same across everything. They said that they still have, what they say, like 100 titles in development for the 360 over, yeah, the next year. So, I mean, if they're still going to, well, they unveiled a new console, like a new version of the Xbox 360. So, mm-hmm, if they're going to stay committed to their previous gen, they are not giving me any reason whatsoever to switch, right now at least. So, if I'm only going to buy one, which obviously I'm only going to buy one, because again, it does come down to budget. These are huge, huge amounts of money.
Yeah.
Especially for someone on such a limited budget. So, you know, I'm only going to buy one. And if the company that I currently own a console from is going to keep supporting that and not just forget it exists, then why wouldn't I buy the other company? It's like, by staying true to the fans and giving fans what they want, they're actually assuring that I don't go out and buy an Xbox One day one.
Yeah. So we never really touched on the price a little bit, which was one, mm-hmm, of the punches that Sony gave Microsoft. But how do you feel about the online connectivity? I mean, it sucks to ask this question now that you've had to reset your router, but
how do I feel about online connectivity?
I should have asked you this before.
I wasn't off for 24 hours, so
that's true. See, that the always on doesn't bother me, but I guess when it comes right down to it, is the sharing, you know, the used games. I mean, as much as we say we don't buy used games,
I buy almost exclusively used games.
Well, okay, even there are people that buy exclusively used games, which is fine. I don't care. Me personally, like, I'll buy used games when it makes sense. Like, when I'm trying to say, when I bought the PS3 late in the game, I was gonna go buy Uncharted 2, and I'm like, well, I want to play Uncharted. And your options are, you know, buy it new or you buy it used. And used was like $8. And it's a game I'm going to play and never touch again just to catch up, right? Mm-hmm. So used games make sense. Rentals, I've been renting a lot. And
rentals, I think, is it's important. It's like a undervalued. I think Microsoft is really undervaluing it and saying, like, no, we're just not going to do it. Nobody rents games anymore. And I really don't think that's true. Lots of people rent games. Mm-hmm. So I find it's a really interesting choice for Microsoft not to support rentals or trading, or, you know, like, if they're doing it, they're doing it really, like, they're making it more difficult than it needs to be.
They're pretty much, I feel as though you go one way or the other, and they've gone the other way where you just can't do everything that you're doing right now with the system in the sense of sharing games and used games, because they are doing that install to the drive license thing. Like, you either make it, you lock it down, you make it super complicated, or you just make it the way it was. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can't make it super complicated, because I think that's harder to explain than just say, no, you buy it, it's tied to it, that's it. It works like, mm-hmm, Steam.
I mean, like, Sony did come right out in their press conference and say, like, we're listening to the fans, we're keeping things the way that they were, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is true. But they have also since said that, you know, like, all the DRM stuff, like, not necessarily the connectivity that Microsoft wants you to have, but in terms of, like, online passes or serial numbers or all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm, Sony is still making that available to publishers. They've just said, exactly the same as what Microsoft has said, is that they are leaving all the DRM stuff up to the individual publisher. So, right, it's not that Sony is saying, oh no, do whatever you want, you know, all this other stuff. They're saying, well, they have the same deal as Microsoft. It's just that Microsoft is requiring you to be online once every 24 hours. Well, and that's something that Sony's not doing.
That's not true. I mean, Microsoft is building... See, the difference is Microsoft is building the DRM into the system. We call it DRM, but it is DRM, right. But they're building it in the system, whereas Sony is saying, we're not building it into the system, but say, take EA, for example. I mean, they're heavily focusing on Xbox this year. A lot of people are thinking that's because they're doing this whole...
Well, they have a partnership now, Microsoft and EA.
Yeah, because of this DRM stuff, and... If the game comes out on PlayStation, you better believe that if they wanted to, they could emulate that protection on the PS4. And Sony mm-hmm. wouldn't have to do anything about it. It's them. Yell yeah. at them. But I think you'll see a lot less of it on Sony, on the PS4. But I think, I don't think Microsoft will back down. And Microsoft's really been this company where they'll try something and, they'll only be proven wrong by sales. If their mm-hmm. sales suck, they'll drop it like it's hot. I mean, look at Vista.
I thought that was a good thing. Isn't dropping it like it's hot? Isn't that good?
Not if it's burning your hand skin off, Jocelyn.
Oh, this is hot potato talk. I was unclear.
Yeah, but there is a thing where you can drop it like it's hot and it's good. I think it has something to do with apples in Animal Crossing when you start off with peaches. I think. I'm not exactly sure. There was something I had about the Xbox that... I remembered. On Facebook, someone had a book about how Microsoft is doing things right, basically playing devil's advocate and saying that the publishers need this money to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Because games are costing so much, because... Insert all the excuses here. And I see certain points of it, but then I realized that companies are thriving now on a system where they aren't required for you to buy new copies all the time. You know, like look at what Activision is doing with Call of Duty. Look at what Blizzard is doing with all their titles, right? So, but then again, you can't buy any of Blizzard's titles used. So what do you think about that? Like, in the sense that Microsoft's doing things right by giving more money to the publishers.
I don't know. I think I saw something online today too, where somebody was basically saying that yes, Microsoft has won because of their protection of publishers, and basically saying like if you can publish on PlayStation and there is no kind of protection there, then why would you not choose Microsoft? Essentially, mm-hmm. you know, like why would you choose to be a PlayStation exclusive, or why would you choose to work with both consoles, because basically you're opening yourself up for used games and piracy and trading and all that kind of stuff if you involve yourself with the PS4. So, you know, it's going to be a much easier sell for Microsoft to say, oh, just make it exclusive for us until, you know, for 6 months, a year, whatever, forever, who knows. But right. basically, like, they've got that edge in terms of, like, from the business side of things. Yeah, they're pissing off fans, but at the same time, if you look at Microsoft and you go, oh my God, they have this exclusive and that exclusive and this and that and the other thing, then all of a sudden it's like, well, I really want to buy PlayStation. I love the way they're treating me, the gamer, but I can't get anything on the PS4. Like right. all of the cool titles I want, because in the end, what sells a console is the games. So if you don't have the games, if you're Sony and all you have is Sony Worldwide Studios as your exclusive titles, yeah, they make good stuff. I'm not saying they don't. But right. if that's all you have to pull from because everybody else is going with the guy who's going to protect their IP, then, I mean, that's something that you have to consider.
Well, you have another Nintendo at that point. Yeah. When you look at the Wii U, they're suffering for a different reason. In terms of
so many.
In terms of third parties, but you don't want to have a system that's solely supported by first party studios, because mm-hmm. third parties resent that. I mean, people have come out saying that we don't want to put a game on Wii because they just don't sell as well as yeah. Nintendo games. It's a Nintendo machine. So, mm-hmm. but I mean, did you get that feeling from the conferences that Sony was lacking in games? I mean, I certainly felt the opposite when it came.
Well, no,
to games.
I mean, they have lots of stuff. They have lots of indie titles. They have things that look really cool, but a lot of that is either shared between Sony and Microsoft, or it's from Sony Worldwide. There weren't a whole lot of titles that were actually exclusively third-party Sony exclusives. Like, I Can you name one or two? Like, I know that we've talked about some, but
the third party exclusive is sort of dead. I mean, I know it's weird. I say that, but then you know, you're right. I say that, and then you look at what Microsoft has, and the one that stands out is Dead Rising 3, which we didn't talk about. I mean, that is a third party.
It's because it's zombies, and I was just kind of like, zombies.
I was going to let that
zombies
one slide.
Zombies is down there. It's below racing and sports.
But it fits with, you know, I don't really understand the hate on zombie games. There really aren't that many in comparison to shooters, but then people hate shooters too.
Yeah, like... I think people hate anything that gets overdone, and it just looks like the same thing with maybe like, oh, this has a red dot sight instead of a scope. So that's the difference between these two shooter games.
I guess I never really hated that mentality because I am a Nintendo fan. I mean, I just picked up Animal Crossing, which is essentially the same game they've released 3 times with certain tweaks. But yeah, like Dead Rising is a good example of a third party exclusive. You know, Sunset Overdrive is a really good example of a third party exclusive. So
not that that is something that I would ever play. Like, I mean, we watched that trailer and I was losing my shit laughing at it, but
you didn't like that one either, eh? Let's go down the list. Rise.
Really funny because, like, I mean, it started off and I'm just like, oh, this kind of looks like Borderlands. And now it looks like, oh, I can't remember what the second game was. Oh, Team Fortress 2. And then, oh, you know what else it looks like now that he's sliding down a thing on a hook? Oh, now it's Bioshock Infinite. And oh, now it's got alien zombie pus head things.
Right. Okay, and, well...
Yeah, so I was just kind of, the whole thing was just, like, way, way too out there for me, I think. But, the trailer was just... I found it really funny.
But Halo, but, Jocelyn,
but it
Halo.
Is huge. I mean, it is a huge title, and it's, you know, by a huge studio, and it's Microsoft exclusive. So, I mean, there may not be as many, but they're definitely still a force in the video game industry, I think. So... we've been running pretty long now, so I really think... So you think you're going to spend your money on a PlayStation?
I am not hitting the button on the pre-order yet, but I am seriously considering it. I'm still questioning what I'll do.
We still have time, and I think that's key, is, you know, getting a few more dates. The closer you get to launch, the more information you're going to get. I think I'm leaning towards PlayStation, although the reason I was leaning towards PlayStation was I thought it was going to be backwards compatible, which it is not. They are saying that eventually they might do emulation or, you know, older things may be available eventually, but as of right now, nope, next gen is next gen, no backwards compatibility. So I was thinking, I was like, oh my god, if I get a PlayStation, then I'm going to have access to all the whole PlayStation library, and I can play all the old Killzones and Uncharted and Infamous and yay, and then they were just like, no.
Well, I mean, if the cloud really does deliver, which they keep bringing it up, so it sounds like they want it to, you don't own any PS3 games, so technically the real reason to have backwards compatibility is lost on you, right?
Well, yeah, but there'd be, you know, last generation, I could pick them up used, you know, all of these things would factor in. So, you know, basically it would have opened up a library that was previously unavailable to me by picking up the next gen console, which, I mean, obviously I'm excited about all the things that are next gen, but again, I was excited about Elder Scrolls. I was excited about Dark Sorcerer I thought looked really cool too. But, you know, most of the things that I was excited about on PlayStation turned out not to be exclusive. So Final Fantasy is another one.
I can pretty much guarantee that you would love Infamous. I know you've never played any of the Infamous titles, but...
Oh no, I agree.
It looks amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of what I saw of the main character, but at the same time, I know from trailers and gameplay and all that I've seen of previous Infamous titles, like, it's definitely right up my alley. I would really, really enjoy it. So, I mean, I'm leaning towards... I think I'm leaning PS4, but again, I need more info. I want to know if I just go for the $399 version, what I'm actually going to be missing out on by not having that eye support.
Those things will be in baskets. I mean, you'll be able to go pick one of those up, no problem. But you're right, they aren't talking about what you're missing from that.
Yeah.
But then again, it doesn't sound like it's closely integrated with the system as much as the Kinect is.
Right. So just one other really quick thing that we didn't really touch on is the differences between Xbox Live and PlayStation Network or PlayStation Plus are now not that far apart. Xbox announced, now again, it was tricky wording, but they announced that they are giving away free titles starting July 1st, two titles a month, and then they said through the launch of the Xbox One. So what I wasn't clear on, does that mean July, August, September, October, November, so 5 months, so 10 titles, or is that something that is now part of your Xbox Live subscription, is two new titles every month? And the titles that they said that they were giving away are Assassin's Creed 2 and Halo 3, which are both very old titles.
Yeah.
Like, I was just kind of, at first, my brain went, oh my god, Assassin's Creed 3 and Halo 4? That's fantastic. And then I was like, oh wait, no, go back one more.
those are moneymakers. I mean, PlayStation Plus is great because they give away titles that are not even a year old. Like, I could have picked up Sleeping Dogs, right?
Sleeping Dogs, yeah, that was in our quickfire a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So, you know, like, exactly, that there seems to be a little bit more available to you as a PlayStation Plus member. But what they did also say is that multiplayer now will require PlayStation Plus, which is something that for a long time, that was a big selling feature of Sony, is that they had a free network connectivity that allowed you to watch Netflix, play multiplayer, you know, like do all of those things without having to pay Sony any more money. Mm-hmm. Plus was available, but it didn't impact your gameplay. If you had the game and you had an internet connection and you had a friend you wanted to play with, you could do that without owing Sony anything. Yeah. So they've gotten rid of that, which I think is a really downplayed move.
Well,
but it's important.
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, servers are expensive, and the cloud is going to be expensive. You got to know that this is going to incorporate Gaikai in some way. Mm-hmm. And PlayStation Plus is great. I mean, just to, you know, multiplayer aside, they're giving us a free PS4 game at launch with PS Plus. The racing game. Sorry,
the racing game. Yeah,
and it's actually it looks to be a free to play version. They said PS Plus version, but
yeah, they definitely used the word version in there, so it's not the same as the retail version.
No.
But still.
But it's important to note the difference between Live and PS Plus is that Netflix and all those apps like that are not hidden behind a paywall on the Sony platform, as opposed to Microsoft, where you have to pay double for Netflix, which a lot of people don't understand. And it's great to see Sony paying attention to what gamers are saying.
Yeah, but then on the flip side of that too, they announced that you can have Xbox Live Gold sharing, which is new. So they didn't really go into detail, but from what I gathered, that means that I can pay for Xbox Live and share it with Joel instead of us having to pay for two different Xbox Live subscriptions within the same household, which is huge. That's awesome.
That is big. And I don't know if Sony's said whether they're going to be matching that or having a similar system, because they never did make you pay for multiplayer. So I wonder what they'll do there. I hope you're paying PS Plus for like the system, and it's tied to the accounts that are tied to that system, similar to what Microsoft's doing. But again, we don't know.
Yeah. So a lot of unanswered questions still. I mean, definitely Microsoft came back. I mean, it could have gone worse. It could have gone a whole lot worse for them.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job. Again, I wasn't blown away, but I feel like they weren't aiming at me. You know, they had that Rise game. I feel like they did show something that was RPG, but I can't remember what it was off the top of my head now.
There was
one right in the middle. Crimson Dragon. Anyways, there was one, but I can't remember what it is. I don't think it's an exclusive. But yeah, I feel like they weren't really aiming at me, and so
it was The Witcher.
Ah, yeah, you're right. That's where I saw The Witcher. Yeah, so it was The Witcher. So, but you know what I mean? Like, they did show me a little bit of RPG, and always that's what gets me, you know, is I'm same sort of thing as Scott. I love exploring the open world. I love me some Elder Scrolls. So, yeah, I mean, it could have gone worse for them. I wasn't blown away. The higher price point is sucky.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would be nice to for next gen to switch over to Sony and, you know, have access to some of that IP that I won't get anywhere else. So I think right now I'm leaning towards PS4.
Yeah, I think Microsoft.
They also looked like they made the controller bigger. Sorry.
I was just going to say, this will be my final point, I promise. But I think that Microsoft made the mistake that Nintendo did in the sense that they weren't showing off their best first-party IPs at launch, as mm-hmm. opposed to what Sony's doing with, here's Killzone, here's Infamous. Those are your two first-party IPs to get you started. Come back next year, Uncharted, God of War, maybe even a Last of Us sequel, you know. So I think that's a world difference for me. I mean, like I said, a Nintendo guy.
Right, and Last of Us is exclusive, isn't it?
Yes, The Last of Us is an exclusive to Sony, and they've it's by the Naughty Dog guys, the guys who did Uncharted, and they've said there are other stories to tell, so
yeah,
we'll see.
We shall see. So, just to remind you guys that we now have t-shirts on Slash Loot, and just this, I guess it was a couple days ago now, we now have black versions of the Gamers In t-shirt, so you can get the Gamers In t-shirt in white, black, and gray in a multitude of sizes. And so you can use the code N13DEAL to get $2 off, and that code is good through July 7th. You can also use the code N13PICK, again, good through July 7th. It used to be N13SHIP, so it's the same thing. It will give you free shipping if you are going to Nerdtacular and you're going to be in Utah to pick it up. So use the code N13PICK for pickup.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and the N13 codes work on any shirts on the Slash Loot site. So head on over and pick up a Gamers In t-shirt to help support Ryan and I in this thing that we do. So we lost Scott, but this is where I was going to ask him to plug whatever he wanted to plug. So I'm going to plug him for him. He is at Scott Johnson on Twitter. He is host of I don't even know how many shows, but he is the host of The Instance, Final Score, The Morning Stream, App Slappy, the list goes on and on and on, but you can find it all at frogpants.com.
That is true.
Or frogpantsstudios.com. Ryan, entertain the people while I look it up.
You're doing a great job, Scott Johnson. He would
frogpants.com.
Also there it is.
So check out Scott at frogpants.com. You can visit us on the web at gamersandpodcast.com, or you can email the show with your thoughts on the next gen at info@gamersandpodcast.com. You can find us on AMOVE TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, and This Week in Blizz. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers In. We're also on Facebook and Google+. Before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out and thank you to Greg Moffat for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week. Actually, by next week, I mean Friday. And yeah, Friday, I totally forgot to plug this. Friday, we will be having Paul the Swick Swickard. I just made that up.
No, he's now that's called a thing.
Swick. Oh, is it?
Well, ever since last year.
Yeah, true. So we will be having Paul Swickard, who has been on the floor at E3 on the show on Friday night. So tune in to us on our regular time, which is 8:30 Eastern, for another E3 special. Yay!
All Nintendo guys, it's going to be great.
It's not.
It's not going to be great, but it is going to be all Nintendo. Nice. I'm joking.
All right, tune in next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Freaking Skype.
I don't know what that was. That was psycho.
Canada.
I guess so, dude. All your freaking cat and bamboo hair up there.
That's what we live on.
Or cat hair and bamboo, sorry.
What?
I don't know bamboo what he's talking about.
Back in the day, in the ELR days, I used to refer to people's bad internet as cat hair and bamboo. I don't know why. Doesn't make any more sense now than it did then, but there is a constant Ryan Murphy in my feed.
I try to interject once in a while.
No, I like it. It's good. That's what I like about Twitter.
Yeah.